young, I'd listen to the radio.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Mutual.
This is ABC Radio Network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Same Time, Same Station. Your hosts, Larry and John Gassman. Thanks so much for being with us. And we're to, for those of you who have not been listening or haven't heard, we've been doing Howard McNear for many, many episodes. We're picking a performer of, it used to be the month in the olden days. Now it's performer. And we go throughout his or her career.
Now it's millennium.
The performer of the millennium, and it's Howard McNear. And I don't know how far this is going to go. Just as soon as I begin to see that we're getting a lot of patternistic radio stuff, like Lux Radio Theater, we've got a lot of those already done. He comes up with a new show, or a new show is formed. And in this case, we found a few more that weren't on the last time we did Howard McNear, which was a couple weeks ago. So we're going to hear Hopalong Cassidy, we'll hear Nero Wolf, and we'll hear Bold Venture in the next couple of hours. But we're going to begin with the first episode of The Lineup with Howard McNear. The Lineup, July 6, 1950.
The FBI in Peace and War, usually heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its summer vacation. The FBI in Peace and War will return to CBS 8 weeks from now, August 31st. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights, we will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. We take you now to The Lineup.
Is this going to help me get back my little girl?
Perhaps. All we want you to do is identify the man you saw talking to her, Mrs. Crawford.
My little girl, my baby.
Please sit down. Here, I'll sit beside you.
Lieutenant Guthrie?
Yes?
You understand how it is. Betty's only 16. She's an only child. And she's been gone for a whole day. And her father and me were so worried. I didn't want her to be a babysitter.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Gribb, Sergeant Matt Gribb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I call for questions or identifications, call out the number.
Lieutenant.
It'll be all right, Mrs. Crawford.
If you are not sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They are seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the bathroom and dressed back to their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, boys, this way. You, front man, walk to the end of the stage and take your place. The rest follow. Turn around, face front. Hands to your sides. Look straight ahead so the people out there can see you. That's right. Number one, Joseph Denzer. Creating a disturbance, carrying concealed weapon. Where do you live, Joe?
Here, I live here, since the last 2 hours.
I want your address when you're not in jail.
Care of the Salvation Army.
Did the arresting officer find a weapon on you?
Zip gun.
What do you mean, zip gun, Joe?
Steel pipe, you know. Fires a .22, good for practice.
Practice on what?
Rabbits, in case I see a rabbit in the street.
Number two, Max Hanauer. Assault with intent to do great bodily harm. Where do you live,
Max? I wasn't going to do him harm. I never beat up a mailman before.
Where do you live, Max?
Enter Street, 202, first floor.
I have down here, that's a deserted house, isn't it?
The mailman never brings me no mail. I know lots of people. They write to me. I never get no mail.
Number three, Owen Ferris, vagrancy.
That's him.
Are you sure, Mrs. Crawford?
The man who's always talking to Betty. It's him. I tell you, that's the man. What did you do with my child? What did you do with my child?
Close the door, Ferris. Over there, sit.
Now, look, Lieutenant.
Sit.
Well, what?
Ferris, how many times have we sat here before? In this room because someone pointed a finger at you in the lineup like Mrs. Crawford just did.
You keep score, not me.
12 times, maybe 13.
Only 3 convictions, Lieutenant. That ain't batting hardly 250.
All right, Ferris, what about it?
What about what?
The last time you were in here, it had something to do with a 16-year-old girl. Nobody could get the story straight, so we let you go.
After 72 hours in the cooler, you did.
A 16-year-old girl. How old are you, Ferris?
Sometimes I feel like a kid.
Mrs. Crawford told me she recognized you as the man who's been coming into her grocery store. She said you hadn't bought anything yet.
That's mental, Lieutenant. That worries me sometimes. I like to browse in grocery stores. You'll call a doc, huh?
Why Mrs. Crawford's store?
It's a fine store, fine.
To see her daughter, to look at Betty?
Who?
Mrs. Crawford said you never came to her store unless Betty was there. You always struck up a conversation with her.
Oh, I'm chatty with clerks.
Where's Betty?
For all I know, she's selling bubblegum 6 for $5, like always.
They found her, Ben.
Sure, Ryan?
No. You better go and take a look. In the backyard of the Crawford home.
Dead?
Yes. Dead.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, fellas. No.
Put him away, Matt.
Lieutenant Guthrie?
Yes, officer.
I'm John Hearn, patrolman on this beat. I called it in. Well, that's a kid practicing piano down the street.
Where is she, John?
Over here in the backyard. Girl's father ran after me on the street to tell me he'd found her.
Her father found her?
Yeah. Girl's in there, Lieutenant, all folded up in that old icebox. Mr. Crawford tells me he just got a new one. He was trying to sell this one, just left it out and it...
Help me with her, John.
Sure thing.
You knew this girl?
Betty? Yeah, I knew her. Used to give me fruit from the grocery store. Nice kid, good bringing up.
Dress torn, beaten, strangled. Stuffed in that box like a...
Like that, yeah.
Where's her father?
In the house, in the living room. Shall I...
Yeah.
While you're talking?
Call the morgue.
Sure thing, Lieutenant.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes? You're a detective?
Ben Guthrie. I'll have to...
I know. You want to ask me things. That's why I waited here. Edith isn't home. Edith, my wife, she's down at the police. She doesn't know, but I wish Edith... Would...
She wasn't feeling very well, Mr. Crawford. The matron thought she'd better lie down for a little while.
Oh. That music's nice. That boy's going to be quite good one day. He practices hard all the time, day and night.
Tell me what you can about Betty, Mr. Crawford. Where she was yesterday, what she did.
Yesterday. I remember very well. I've been sitting here making a comeback, trying to change it all.
Tell me.
We argued with her, Edith and I. We told Betty she couldn't come to the store that way, dressed like that. A sunsuit.
Betty worked in the store every day?
Only for a couple of hours. She looked so young, pretty.
Where was she the rest of the day?
Swimming. She does that every day of her summer vacation. I mean, she did.
Then she came home?
No, she called and said she wouldn't be home for dinner. She was going right on to her babysitting job.
Where did Betty go swimming?
The municipal pool on Elm. Every day. Oh, that must be Edith. Edith.
Robert, you're the detective who's Why are you here?
Mrs. Crawford,
Betty? Betty?
Hey, you!
Yeah?
You, how did you get in here without a bathing suit?
Lieutenant Guthrie, police.
Oh, sure, Lieutenant. Sometimes people just wander in here out of the locker rooms.
Who's in charge here?
Well, I'm the head guard. In charge except when the park supervisor comes around. My name's Howard Douglas.
Have you worked here long, Howard?
4 years. This is my fifth. It's how I spend my summer vacations from college. This year, while I'm out in the world now, Lieutenant, graduated. Only not so many people want so many engineers. What can I do for you?
Did you know a girl who hung around here?
So many girls.
Betty Crawford?
Betty? Oh, sure. She's the one. Oh, excuse me. Wait a minute.
Hey, you! Get down off there! That's right, you! Get down!
Frankly, Lieutenant, I'd rather be an engineer.
We were talking about Betty Crawford. You said you knew her.
Real cute kid. Bobby socks her, but cute. I read what happened to her.
Well, maybe you can help us, Howard.
I think I can.
All right. What can you tell us about Betty?
Did you ever have the misfortune to work at a swimming pool?
No.
The characters that come out here, men mostly, and men who never go in the water at all, just sit and look.
Uh-huh.
Betty liked to be looked at. I only say that...
Go on.
A little bit wild, loud... The kind of bathing suit she wore, she... Well, I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
I know you're not, Howard, but we've got to find out these things.
Well, I guess you do. Well, these kids on vacation...
Tell me what you're trying to say.
High school kids mostly, Lieutenant. Here, look at them. Those girls there down at the low diving board, they congregate there every day, the ukulele set. Look at the way they show themselves off. They don't know what they're doing.
Uh-huh. And Betty?
One of them, but louder than most. You know what I mean.
Anything else?
No, Lieutenant. I guess that's all.
Got a minute, Ben?
Sure, Matt. Well, you look hot. Sit down in front of the fan.
Oh, it won't take that long. We just got through interrogating the people the Crawford girl was babysitting for. We let him go.
Nothing, huh?
Yes, nothing. We came home from the movie, paid her, watched her walk down the street, said she seemed happy, sang a happy song till she was out of sight. Yeah, I think I will sit down.
What do you think, Matt?
It's happened before, it'll happen again. Maybe we won't find them, maybe we will. That's what I think. You?
I went down to the pool.
Oh, boy, pool. Some people can go swimming. I can remember when I was a kid.
I talked to the head guard, to a bunch of kids he called the ukulele set.
Anything?
The kids were scared, tried not to show it, acted big. Head lifeguard, like all head guards. Ben Guthrie here.
Please, you've got to send somebody right away, please.
Who is this? What's wrong?
There's a man in the next room.
Where?
My name's Alice Grant. I'm baby.
Where, Miss Grant? Where?
1246 Forest Street. Oh, please, I'm so scared. I'm not fooling.
We'll be right there. Let's go, Matt. ...1246. Come on, Matt.
I'm coming, coming.
Locked.
Shall I?
Yeah.
No one in here. Maybe she's with a baby.
Let's look.
In here.
Not here. You look upstairs. I'll go through down here.
Yeah, okay.
Shh, baby, shh. It's all right, baby. It's all right.
Yard.
is she?
Yeah. Beaten. Strangled to death.
You are a witness behind the scenes at police headquarters as we bring you The Lineup. One of radio's favorite detectives, Mr. Keene, the famed tracer of lost persons, will be in action again later tonight on most of these same CBS stations. Mr. Keene will find he has two fine grade A suspects, but no clues in the stabbing of a wealthy widow. A flaw in his reasoning, suddenly discovered, finally leads him to the solution. Be sure to hear Mr. Keene with the case of murder and the missing clue. He'll be along on most of the same CBS stations later tonight. And now we return you to The Lineup.
That's the last lineup for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Matt.
Oh, hi, Ben. I didn't know you were sitting out there.
I want to talk to you.
Sure, wait till I get out of this cage. What's on your mind?
About that second girl who was killed, Alice Grant.
Yeah, her folks were down earlier. I ran the line for them. No identifications. Questioned them. Nothing there, either. Almost the same story as Betty Crawford. High school kid on vacation going after the summer in a sunsuit. Babysitter for ice cream money. And strangled, too.
How do you feel about it, Matt?
I feel about it this way. There's a man in this city who strangles babysitters. I've got another feeling about it, too. We better find him, Ben. Or there's going to be another.
I know. What about the family Alice was working for when she was murdered?
It's not much of a family. A man and a baby. The man's name is Jack Kirby. Preliminary questioning was pretty unsatisfactory. You know, I'd talk to him again if I were you.
All right, Matt. Because you say so.
You really lean on the bell, don't you, mister? I finally get the kid asleep, and
you're Kirby? Jack Kirby?
Yeah. One of the kindly neighbors tout you off on me?
I'm from the police, Mr. Kirby. I want to talk to you about Alice Grant. But inside, huh?
You got nothing to talk to me about her? I paid her $50 an hour to sit with my kid. That's all I know about her.
We'll talk about it inside. Shall we, Mr. Kirby?
Well, there's nothing I can do about it, is there? Come on in. Keep it low. I don't want the kid to wake up. I had enough trouble.
Your wife?
She's dead. Died on me when the kid was born. You want to talk? Let's go back in the kitchen. I'm doing the dishes.
All right.
I understand from the papers you've been in my house before. It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You guys are pretty free with your curiosity, aren't you? The way you went through things.
A girl was murdered.
Yeah, that's why, huh? You won't mind if I do mother's work while we're talking, huh?
You're alone here, Mr. Kirby? The baby, the house?
Days I have a housekeeper come in. Nights she has to go home because she has kids of her own. 3 nights a week I go out, give myself a ball. I deserve it, don't you think?
Last night was one of the 3 nights.
Yeah. I was down at the corner crying into my beer. Then a bartender broke it up. Said there was some trouble at my house. That's all I need. You, too.
You were there all evening?
Yeah, I was there all evening. Witnesses. A girl who helped me cry for a while. Very simpatico. I don't even know her name. Not even what she looks like. Who looks?
Who else?
Maury, the bartender. I tip him good. Maybe he'll vouch for me I was there all the time. Maybe.
The night you went out, you always called Alice Grant to babysit?
Yeah, every time. She's good with the kid. Young. They understand each other, the young.
Maybe an older woman would have been better.
Oh, I told you, there's nothing like a young girl around the house. With my kid, that is.
How did you find Alice?
Well, from an ad in the paper.
Were you ever out with her, Jack? I mean, like, on a date?
Are you kidding? I'm lonely, but not that lonely. Well, I'm through with the dishes. We through talking?
For now, Jack. For now.
Okay, Ben. It happened.
What did?
What time this evening did I tell you if we didn't find out who was after these high school kids, we'd have an epidemic on our hands?
Another one?
Yeah, this one was lucky. Here, it's all written down right here in the 415 report. Just came into communications. You see, she's lucky. She might live.
Babysitter?
We don't know. We don't even know who she is. But within an hour, we'll get a call from an apologetic parent. A mother who's going to ask me where her daughter is. Yes, apologizing to me. Because she's got to ask me where her daughter is. A mother who all of a sudden feels a responsibility.
Where did they find the girl?
Back at the retainer wall near the swimming pool. Elm Street Park. In a bathing suit.
All right, Matt. Where's the girl now?
Well, she's going to be for a long time. City Hospital.
I told you, Lieutenant, you can't go in there. She's sleeping peacefully with our help. After what happened to her tonight, sleep might not come to her again so easily. I'll not have you questioning her, Lieutenant, understand? Not tonight.
All right, nurse, all right. You have the chart on her?
What do you want to know?
How she was found, her condition.
She's been beaten, brutally. Her throat was clawed at, bruised. How else do you expect she'd be found?
Why do you say that?
The girl's young. I think in a while we'll find she's pretty. She was in a bathing suit.
There were no other clothes?
No.
I'll want the suit.
I'll get it for you. Oh, there's this.
Hmm?
I forgot this piece of rubberized cord. Here you are, Lieutenant. What do you suppose this cord is for?
From her locker tag, I'd say. It's the swimming pool. The metal disc with her locker number on it. It wasn't found?
No. It must have been torn away. Anything else, Lieutenant?
Yes, yeah, a phone.
You can use the phone on the desk.
Thank you, nurse.
Police Department, Sergeant Gripps.
Matt, Ben, I want you to
grab... Oh, Ben, sir, that phone call came from the mother. The girl's name is Sue Maynard, high school girl.
All right, Matt, all right, I got it. Let Farris go, grab a squad car, meet me at the municipal pool on Elm, but right now...
Yeah, right now, it's late, it's closed.
We'll open it.
The things these kids leave in their swimming lockers.
Just keep looking, Matt.
Maybe the girl's clothes are gone.
Maybe. Matt.
Uh-huh?
That maintenance bin in the drying room. See if you can find a screwdriver.
Oh, one open?
Yeah, that's right. See if you can find a screwdriver.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks. I can't get this thing.
Yeah, let me try it, man.
Here.
Yeah, there we go.
A girl's clothes, Matt. Sue Maynard?
Well, I wouldn't know. What do we do now?
There's some comfortable furniture in the guard's room.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Let's go sit in it. And wait. You sleeping, Matt?
No. Mm-mm, I'm not. I hear it. Hello.
What are you doing?
You remember me, don't you, Howard? This is Sergeant Greb. Works with me.
Glad to meet you, Howard.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, too. But I don't understand. What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for you. Hey, you're a little early, aren't you? The pool doesn't open until 10 a.m.
Well,
right now it's still a little before 6.
I guess I'm pretty conscientious.
Yeah, that's good in a young fella. Lots of things for you to do around here, huh, Howard?
Well, plenty.
Read us what you do around here, Howard.
What are you talking about?
Read it, that sign up there. Duties of Municipally Employed Lifeguards. Read it, Howard.
What is this?
Read it.
All right. Duties of Municipally Employed Lifeguards. 1, pool must be kept clean at all times. 2, sterile foot baths must be kept near all showers. 3, all swimmers must take shower before entering pool. 4, oh, now look.
Go on.
4, head guard is responsible for checking all lockers after pool is closed. Pool should be dragged immediately if any clothes are unclaimed. 5, assistant head guard shall be responsible for the signing of the checkout sheet. 6,
that's enough, Howard.
I'm glad it amuses you two, but I still don't understand.
Howard.
Yes, sir?
While we waited for you, we went through your desk.
What gives you guys the right?
We went through your desk and found a couple of letters. Offers of jobs. Good jobs. For a fellow who just graduated as an engineer, they were fine jobs. Those letters were dated over a month ago.
Well,
You said you wanted a job as an engineer.
Well, I don't know. Being, you know, running a swimming pool like Howard does is a pretty big job. Isn't that right, Howard?
Those engineering jobs weren't right for me.
Or is it because you like working in a swimming pool better? Nice scenery, huh, Howard? Like to look, huh, Howard? The kids who show themselves off.
All right. All right, so what?
You know, for a conscientious boy, you weren't so conscientious last night.
Wasn't I?
No, you weren't. You didn't drag the pool like you were supposed to. A girl's clothes were left in her locker. And you didn't drag the pool.
I didn't know about that. I left early last night.
Sign your
night.
Name right here, Howard.
What?
Go on this envelope, sign it. And use my pen. Go on.
Okay. There. Now what?
Look at it, Ben.
Mm-hmm. You didn't leave early last night, Howard. This sign-out sheet on your desk has your signature beside 8:30. That's when you left when the pool closed.
You didn't drag the pool even though you knew Sue Maynard's clothes were still in her locker. You didn't drag the pool because you knew where Sue Maynard was. Because you put her there behind that retaining wall.
I don't know any Sue Maynard. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You knew Sue Maynard like you knew Alice and like you knew Betty. The ukulele set, isn't that what you called them?
They were kids. What do I want with kids?
Well, they looked up to you, huh? High school kids call it a crow or a big, strong lifeguard like you.
Yeah. Yeah, they hung around me till it made me sick.
Not that way, Howard. You liked it.
Oh, sure. Why not? I'm a man. Who wouldn't?
That's right, Howard. You're a man. And they were kids. You scared them. They fought you. Two of them. You had to kill. You killed them, didn't you, Howard?
I had to. There wasn't any other way.
Why?
Teasing me like that. At the pool, walking past me and looking a smile at me over their shoulder. Whispering to me, telling me where they'd be at night. And when I met them, when we were alone, all of a sudden they get scared. Scream. So I had to kill them.
And you thought you left Sue Maynard for dead, didn't you?
She was scared, too.
You're arrested for murder, Howard.
I know.
It's electric chair in this state, Howard.
I had to. But you see, there wasn't any other way. I had to kill them.
The Lineup was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starred Wally Mayer as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Howard McNear as Sergeant Matt Greb. Music was composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Angela Clark, Hal March, Herb Butterfield, Junius Matthews, Jack Crucian, and Jerry Hausner. You've been listening to The Lineup, where before you have passed the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen in again next week when the lineup brings you...
I hope I didn't do wrong about that boy, Lieutenant. But I'm pretty sure there was a bullet hole in that coat.
All we want you to do is identify him, Mr. Hope.
Have your attention, please. You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Gribb, Sergeant Matt Gribb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I pass.
This is CBS, where Crime Photographer solves the case on Thursday nights, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
July 6, 1950, and we heard the lineup here on Same Time, Same Station.
And we'll move along right now to Sidney Greenstreet in the starring role of The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe. So who played Archie? There must have been 65 or 70 actors who played Archie along the way, or at least
there
that many of
them. There were four.
Oh, well, maybe a slight exaggeration there.
Just a little.
It's the first show of the series, and it's called Stamped for Murder from October 20th of 1950.
Stay tuned for Nero Wolfe. If the chimes shudder a little on Sunday afternoon, well, they know there's mystery in store Sunday with men of action like Mike Waring, better known as the Falcon, who brings his fearless and romantic touch to the solution of another mystery. After the Falcon, it's high adventure. Then the big guy steps in. The new private eye, Charlie Weil, concludes with a few casual homicides. The chimes mean mystery and action this Sunday afternoon on NBC. Transcribed.
My boss is the smartest and the stubbornest, the fattest and the laziest, the cleverest and the craziest, the most extravagant detective in the world, Nero Wolfe.
It's the adventure of Stamped for Murder, with that brilliant, eccentric private detective, orchid fancier and gargantuan gourmet, Nero Wolfe. Starring Sidney Greenstreet.
Instructions for this morning, Archie. Your notebook, please. First, Mr. Salinsback. Inform him that the Long Island peafowl he sent were most unsatisfactory. Peafowl's breast flesh is not sweet and tender unless it is well protected from all alarms, especially from the air, to prevent nervousness. Long Island is full of airplanes.
Look, Mr. Wolfe,
I want a dozen chickens that have been raised on blueberries and a fresh-killed lamb for tomorrow.
Mr. Wolfe, please listen. There's...
Mr. Goodwin, be quiet, and then dinner on the following day becomes a problem.
Mr. Wolfe, dinner any day is going to be a problem if we don't pay Sausenbach's bill.
Then pay it.
With what? The bank account's empty.
Ridiculous. There were $4,000 yesterday.
But you bought that shipment of orchid bulbs from Weinold Gluckner. Mr. Wolfe, we need money. You've got to stop eating and drinking beer long enough to earn some.
Phew, you're an alarmist.
Will you, for the love of heaven, stop turning down clients and turn an honest dollar? I've got a couple of prospects right outside the door.
Send them away.
No, sir.
Send them away. Tell them I've gone to Egypt.
Nothing doing, sir.
Confound you, Archie. Obey order. Send them away.
Miss Kent, Mr. Rodman, come in, please.
Thank you.
Confound you, Archie. You're mutinous.
Yes, sir, and you're stuck with it. This is Miss Gloria Kent and Mr. Rodman. They arrived as advertised with a pressing problem.
Good morning. You people are here by sufferance only. I shall speak to Mr. Goodwin about it later. Yes, indeed. I don't like pressing problems, Miss Kent. What are yours?
My father.
Indeed, I'm not a court of domestic relations, Miss Kent. What did your father do? Beat you? Withhold your earnings? Discourage your suitors? Mr. Goodwin should have informed you this office does not undertake cases involving marital or family problems.
But that's not...
If Mr. Goodwin had not been beguiled by your pretty face, he might have warned you and avoided this embarrassment to you and annoyance to me.
Now, take it easy, take it easy. How many times have I told you you don't know how to handle women?
Then suppose you let Miss Kent handle me.
Well, it's simply this, Mr. Wolfe. I had some money my mother left me.
My father's just spent it without my permission. I want it back without a scandal.
Thanks, Miss Kent. How much? How spent?
$10,000. Father bought a treasure map.
Indeed? From whom?
A pair of swindlers named Cross and Halleck. They've driven him crazy, talking about fortune salvaged from the SS this and the SS that. He's got a map and old letters he studies. He's childish.
Many fortunes have been recovered. Many more await on the sea bottom. How do you know your father has been duped?
Well, I know.
You do, Mr. Rodman.
Yes. Cross and Halleck bought some old letters for me, written by my grandfather from Hawaii. They used them to manufacture the map and evidence. And that's what they sold to Kent.
Father thought he was being so clever. He had the paper analyzed. Of course, the document research laboratory said the letters were genuine. They were. But something new had been added. I'd have never known if Mr. Rodman hadn't told me.
You're a party to the swindle, Mr. Rodman?
I was not. I never knew what they were up to.
Mr. Wolf, you've got to help me. I can't do anything with Father. I can't convince him. Even Mr. Rodman can't.
No, Miss Kent, I'm sorry. This is not for me.
But you must. You must.
Not in my office, madam. No tears. Please, please, Archie, stop her.
Okay, okay, okay.
Archie, when Miss Kent has finished her disgraceful exhibition, show them out.
How dare he walk out on a...
Easy, easy, easy. I know him. I know him. You don't. He gets into a panic when women cry, or else he's curious about what Fritz is cooking for lunch. Now, just wait a minute, please. Oh, aren't you ashamed of yourself walking out like that on that poor kid?
That hysterical gamma.
She's lost all of her money. She needs help.
I charge high fees, Archie.
So charge a small fee. Do you want her to starve?
Good heavens, starve? How monstrous.
I'm not kidding. While you'll be in here smelling your dinner, she and her father will be starving.
I thought you were bringing me a paying client.
Well, this is different. She's,
You're beautiful. Archie, you're impossible. Oh, very well. Go back into them. Get names, addresses, facts. I am not committed to Miss Kent's case, but we'll see. Be a tribute I pay for your weakness for a pretty face.
Rodman and Gloria Kent were gone, however. So all I had were the few facts they'd given me before they met Wolf. I felt guilty about that when he came back into the office and sat down in his specially built chair. He closed his eyes and I glared at him. Well, how much of you is awake? Mr. Wolf. Well, they disappeared. Did you tell me you were going to help this girl just to get her out of the office, or did you mean it?
You're a gadfly.
No, sir. No, sir. You made a promise and you're stuck with it.
What did you get from Rodman?
Name, address, occupation. He's a librarian, that's all.
Very careless, Archie. You missed a significant point.
Such as,
How did Rodman discover the letters he sold were being altered by forgery and used for swindle? How did he locate the dupe, Mr. Kent?
I guess you're right. I'll ask him next time. But what about now? Are you going to get Gloria's money back?
I assume you call Miss Kent Gloria solely in order to annoy me. It does. Stop it. Get Cross and Halleck.
On my way.
You'll find them at the Hotel Bogart.
Wrong, sir. According to my notes, their address is...
Never mind their address. The Hotel Bogart is the headquarters for successful, confident tricksters. They celebrate their victories there while the money lasts. You will possibly find Cross and Halleck drinking whiskey or lunching, probably both.
I located Cross and Halleck in the hotel bar and lured them back to our place on 35th Street. Wolf was sitting behind his desk with his hands crossed on his impressive middle, at peace with his lunch and the world when I ushered them in. He sat bolt upright and scorched me with a look. Good afternoon, Mr. Wolf. The tall one's name is Cross, the short one is Halleck. They want to help me invest my money. Gentlemen, Mr. Nero Wolf.
What?
Who?
Hero Wolf.
Hey, what is this?
Confound you, Archie. How drunk are they?
Not too drunk for business.
Let's get out of here. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Chill duck decoy.
You want me to keep him here, Mr. Wolf?
Not by violence, Archie. Come back here, gentlemen. Unless you want 7 years in the state penitentiary.
Unless what? You got nothing on us, Wolf. Nothing.
I have the Kent case.
The Kent? That's a laugh. We're sitting pretty.
You are not, sir. You imagine you possess legal immunity. Mr. Kent believes you are a grotesque balderdash and will not sue for fraud. Miss Kent cannot sue because she is reluctant to accuse her father of wrongfully obtaining her money. Ergo, you think you are invulnerable.
Now, listen.
But you forget me. I'm a detective with a fee to earn.
A big fee.
Quiet, Archie. I am determined to get that fee. Therefore, as Miss Kent's agent, I can and will bring action against you. I'm indifferent to her tears or her father's disgrace. I'm indifferent to anything outside of money. You will return the $10,000 to me at once, sir, or you will be in jail by morning.
You mean that?
I do, Mr. Cross.
Alec.
Yeah?
Come here.
Come on, hurry.
Okay. Here, Mr. Wolf. Alec and I have decided we don't want to get in any trouble with you. Here's your $10,000.
Let's have it.
Give the dough to Kent, Mr. Wolf, and get the letters and map back for us. You've got a reputation for being tricky, but honest. We trust you. Come on, Alec, let's go.
Yeah,
let's...
Well, how about that?
Preposterous.
No, sir. Take a look. $10,000, genuine coin of the realm.
That man Cross is a fool. Does he imagine I am to be fooled so easily?
What do you mean he left the money?
He surrendered too quickly, Archie. Too easily. And that money in the envelope he was carrying all ready to refund. Why?
Well, maybe he's got a better sucker. I heard him mention a Ben Sanford.
Nonsense. Does he need Kent's forged letters and maps to cheat this Ben Sanford? Couldn't he prepare another set?
I guess you're right. Something's fishy.
In any event, it's no concern of mine, thank heaven.
Why not?
I'm not committed to Miss Kent in any way. As a favor to you, I undertook to regain her money. I have done that. You may take it back to her and obtain the forged papers in return.
But,
Silence, Mr. Goodwin. Go to your redhead charmer. Leave me in peace. I intend to spend this afternoon with my New World Atlas.
I left him 3,000 miles up the Amazon with his magnifying glass and drove up to East 69th Street. The Kent house was a broken-down little brownstone, and as I went up the stoop, the door opened and Gloria Kent burst out like a skyrocket. Hey, Miss Kent, easy, easy.
Let go of me. Let go.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
Wrong. Wrong. Nothing is wrong. Nothing at all.
Well, how about seeing your father?
You want to see my father? Come inside.
Oh, for the love of heaven.
Come inside, Mr. Goodwin. I'll introduce you. He's in a back room. Come right through the living room.
What else came through this living room? A hurricane?
No, Mr. Goodwin. Something else. There's my father, Mr. Goodwin.
What in the devil? He's dead. His throat's cut.
Father, this is Archie Goodwin from Nero Wolfe's office. He and his boss refused to help while they could. Maybe he can help you now.
Stop it.
All I'm good for now is revenge, that's all.
Stop it. Stop it and look at me. When did it happen?
I don't know.
When did you find him?
Just now.
Keep looking at me. Who went through this house like a hurricane? You?
No.
Where did you go after you left the office?
To the laboratory.
What lab?
Document research. The place that checked the map.
How long were you there?
Until an hour ago. I was with Mr. Rodman.
Keep looking at me. And then?
I had lunch.
With Rodman?
Alone. And then I came home.
All right. All right, now listen to me. I want you to go to Mr. Wolf's house right now. Have you got cab fare?
Yes.
All right, take a cab. I've got to stay here, but I'll call Mr. Wolf and tell him you're on the way. Now get. I called Wolf, told him everything, and he instructed me to advise Inspector Kramer, who arrived with the homicide squad. I gave the inspector everything while the squad photographed and measured, print dusted and detected. At 3:30, Kramer took me back to the house on 35th Street for a fight with Wolf.
It's a great story, Wolf. Great. Kent buys a phony treasure map. Everybody knows it's phony except Kent. But Cross and Halleck try to buy it back, and Kent gets himself murdered.
Did you find the map and letters in the house, Inspector?
No, I didn't.
Killer was after the map.
A phony map?
Certainly.
Why?
Well, if we knew that, we would know why Cross and Halleck so willingly paid back the money and why Kent was murdered.
Maybe it's not phony.
I'd better see the girl now.
Oh, you fancy her for the murder?
Well, I'll know after I ask a few questions.
Tonight. She's had a shock, Mr. Kramer. She needs rest.
Look, Wolf, I want her.
Why bother with her when there's so much to be done?
Such as?
Cross and Halleck, find them. And the mystery man they spoke of, Ben Sanford. These are the men you want now, not this poor, overwrought girl.
Yeah. All right. The girl will be here for questioning tonight, though, huh?
Tonight, Mr. Kramer.
Okay. You'll hear from me later on.
Well, you buffaloed him out of that, okay. Say, why don't you want her questioned? Is she guilty?
I don't know.
Well, what did she say when she got here?
She said nothing. She never arrived.
She never what?
She never arrived.
Well, then why did you tell Kramer she was resting?
Would he have believed the truth? She must be found. More important, we must learn why forged letters and forged map produces turmoil.
Find the killer and you find the map. You said so.
I said the reverse, which is an altogether different statement. Archie, I want a photograph of that map. Get it.
Oh, sure. Any particular camera you want me to use?
You'll find the photograph at 200 Vanderbilt Street.
Are you kidding?
The lab cannot check the authenticity of old papers without photographing them in ultraviolet light, infrared light, and so on. If this document research lab has examined those papers, they will have photographs. Get them.
He got out of his chair and waddled back to the house elevator. It was 4 o'clock and time for his regular afternoon session with the orchids. I drove down to the document research laboratory on Vanderbilt and got such a shock that I grabbed the office phone and dialed Wolf at once.
Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf, Archie here.
What's the matter? Are you lost?
No, sir, but I found something.
Photographs?
No, Mr. Wolf, I don't think you'll ever see any photographs of the Kent map. I don't think any were taken.
Indeed.
But guess who runs the document research laboratory? No, don't guess. You probably know. A man named Ben Sanford, and he's sitting right here looking at me.
Bring him home with you.
Home? But it's 4 p.m. This is the sacred hour when you pray over your orchids.
Then Mr. Sanford can join the ceremony.
Hey, how about this place? How about it? There must be a million flowers up here.
No, not flowers. Orchids only. Mr. Wolf has 10,000 plants.
Never saw anything like it.
And you never will again, brother.
Hey, what kind is that on the bench?
Oh, that's our pride and joy. Odontoglossum harianum. Above them, the Van Peter Serrana. And the pink ones are the Coelogiani pandoratas. Now, the large object, mulching flower pots, is Nero Wolf. Mr. Wolf, Ben Sanford.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi. I came along to be obliging. I've got nothing to say about anything.
How much have you offered Cross and Halleck for their treasure map?
No comment.
Mr. Sanford, I'm going to make some assumptions. I assume that you are not, in fact, a document expert, but an accessory to the fraud of Halleck and Cross.
No comment.
That you actually prepare fraudulent maps for those swindlers, and then, in the guise of an expert, guarantee their authenticity.
No comment.
But this you must answer. You did guarantee the authenticity of the map and letters Kent bought. It's on record.
All right, I did.
Then will you admit they were forged?
What are you, a comic? No.
You guarantee the value of the Kent map?
Yes.
As an expert?
Yes.
Then you've convicted yourself of murder.
What? Murder? What is this?
Mr. Kent was murdered, sir. Evidently for the map and letters he bought. But of all persons involved, you alone believe in the value of the map. No one else does. Therefore, you alone would have murdered Kent for the map.
Well, for the love of... Now, wait a minute.
Chew it over, brother. Chew it over. Either way, he's got you.
Okay, you want me to level? Here it is.
Level, Archie.
Okay, boss. Thief-type talk. It means tell the truth.
It's like you say. The letters were bought from Rodman. I forged the map and evidence onto them. I guaranteed them to Kent. It was a swindle.
The letters are without value?
Oh, sure, they're old, that's all, from 1851. Just tired family gossip and stuff.
Indeed. There we have the problem again, Archie. Mr. Kent is swindled with a map and letters that are known to be worthless. He alone believes the fantasy of the treasure.
There isn't any treasure, never was.
Yet Cross and Halleck refunded the swindle money so eagerly. It is obvious they want those worthless documents back badly. Someone else wants them so bad, he murders Mr. Kent. Why?
I don't know.
Archie, we must find the girl. There's a chance she turned to Mr. Rodman for refuge. I'm sorry, you'll have to go there at once. If the girl isn't there, bring Rodman.
Yes?
Hello, Rodman. Remember me? I'm Archie Goodwin from Nero Wolfe's office.
Oh, yes, of course.
I came to get Gloria Kent. There's been a change in plans. Tell her to come out, please.
Gloria? Well, she's not here. Why should she be?
Haven't you heard?
Heard what?
Well, I guess you'd better come down and see Wolfe.
Mr. Goodwin, I'm afraid I can't. I'm rather busy.
Look, Rodman, maybe you ought to know. Old man Kent was murdered.
What?
Yes, just after you and Gloria left us.
Kent murdered? Well, this is awful, Mr. Goodwin.
You want to see Mr. Wolfe now? Get your hat.
Murder? Well, believe me, I never wanted this. I'm going to tell Nero Wolfe the whole mess. Every word of it.
Okay, then. Come on, let's go.
Yes, of course. Just a minute. I'll get my hat in the bedroom. Murdered? Kent? I never dreamed.
Come on, Rodman. Come on. What? I didn't hear you. Oh, Rodman. What the...
Oh,
Rodman. Oh, Rodman. Good Lord, what next? Come on.
This is Nero Wolfe.
Archie here. We've had a tough break.
Yes?
While I was waiting for Rodman at the front door, he went into the bedroom for his hat. The killer was there.
How do you know?
He cut Rodman's throat.
Terrible.
The back window was open. It's a ground floor apartment. He was out and gone before I had a chance.
Archie, where were your wits?
Let me alone. I've had a man murdered 20 feet from me. You think I'm cheering?
Mr. Kramer is here, and he has news for us, Archie. He could not locate Cross and Halleck in their apartment. They had not been home all day. The maid informed him that she was waiting for her weekly salary.
Well, so what?
She was most angry and peppery, Mr. Kramer informs me.
Red pepper?
Exactly.
Okay, maybe I know what you mean. I'll try to deliver the goods this time. Goodbye. I drove down to the apartment house on Gramercy Square where Cross and Halleck lived, took the elevator up to the 10th floor, found the right door, and slipped in with a pass key. Come on out. Come out wherever you are. I know you're in here. You fooled Kramer pretending to be the maid, but you didn't fool Wolfe. You'd better... Gloria! Cut it out, you idiot. Lay off.
No.
Archie, you dope. Archie Goodwin from Nero Wolfe's office. Remember me?
Let go of me.
Give me the gun, Gloria. Give it to me. That's right. Who did you think I was?
Halleck.
Oh, brilliant. So Wolfe figured you out, huh? Well, you are a brave girl. They killed your father. You came up here and waited for them. You were going to kill them right back, huh? Oh, that red-headed temper. And you bluffed Kramer into thinking you were the maid.
I had to do something. It was the only thing I could think of, to come here and kill him.
Well, you're coming home with Archie. And just remember one thing. When Wolfe's working for you, don't try to do any thinking. It only gets in Wolfe's way. I got Gloria Kent back to the house at 7 o'clock. I parked the car, brought her into the office, and got the shock of my life. There was a convention on. Wolfe was there with Inspector Kramer representing the cops. Cross, Halleck, and Sanford were there representing the crooks. When Kramer saw Gloria, he scowled first at her... And then at Wolfe.
So it was a slick one after all, Wolfe. You didn't have the girl. You had no intention of producing her.
Please, Mr. Kramer, that can wait. There are other matters more important. I dine at 8. That leaves me 1 hour to solve your murders.
Murders? More than one?
Yes, 2. Elmer Rodman.
By heaven, Goodwin, if you...
Please, Mr. Kramer, not now. First, Miss Kent. Good evening, Miss Kent. I presume you have met these gentlemen, Cross, Halleck, and Sanford.
I...
Yeah, I'll take your purse, please.
Huh? Well, why? why.
Don't think me as naive as Mr. Goodwin, miss. When you left your home after the murder of your father, you took the map and letters with you. They're in your purse now.
Oh, that's not true.
Archie, the purse. Thank you. We have here an interesting situation. There exists some old letters and map, forged and fraudulent, which are worth $10,000 and more to Cross and Halleck and worth two murders to a killer. Why? There must be something of great value in the letters.
Yes, such as?
Something which Mr. Sanford could not see, although he worked on the document closely. Yet something which could be made manifest. What is the answer, Miss Kent? You know it?
I swear I don't.
Secret writing, Archie. Bring the chafing dish from the dining room.
Right.
Secret writing?
I saw nothing when I worked on those letters.
Naturally, Mr. Sanford, the writing is invisible. But heat is an agent. It makes most forms of secret writing visible.
The chafing dish, boss?
Thank you, Archie. Place it before me and light it.
Right.
Now I open Miss Kent's purse. From it, you see, I withdraw these ancient letters which he took from her house after her father's murder.
That's not true.
Archie.
That's enough, Gloria. That's enough. From now on, you just listen.
We remove the letters from the envelope and toast them gently. The secret ink vintage 1851 will easily succumb to the agency of heat.
Careful. Those envelopes will catch fire.
Hey, they're caught.
Don't be upset, Mr. Cross, Mr. Halleck.
The envelopes!
They'll burn safely in the dish. We can concentrate on the writing. Watch closely. I don't want to be accused of trickery.
You fat fool. The envelopes are everything.
Put them out, Sanford. Don't sit there. Put them out.
Why, Mr. Halleck?
Well, the stamps, the missionaries, they're worth a fortune.
The missionaries? Of course. You know that. Mr. Cross knows. So does Mr. Sanford, right?
Yeah.
Cross Sanford knows, you old fool.
Mr. Sanford is not alarmed. Why not, sir?
I don't know what you're talking about.
$50,000 or $100,000 is burning before your eyes, Mr. Sanford. Cross and Halleck are burning their fingers, putting out the flaming envelopes. And you sit there quite indifferently. Why?
Well, I
you know the value of the missionary stamps on the letters you bought from Rodman. But you know these aren't the real letters. Isn't that it?
Not the real letters?
I told you I'm tough to crack, Wolf. You didn't fool me with those dummies.
Dummies? How do you know? Mr. Cross didn't know. Mr. Haddock didn't know. How did you?
Well,
I'll tell you, sir. Only one man could know I was framing Miss Kent as a decoy. Only one man could know I prepared these dummy letters and pretended to take them from her purse. And that is the killer. The man who murdered her father. And stole the map and letters this morning. You, sir, Mr. Sanford.
Well, I'll be...
Mr. Kramer, there's your killer. You'll find the missing map and letters on him or concealed in his home or office. You won't need the evidence anyway. Look at his face. He's self-confessed.
Self-confessed like fun? He was booby-trapped.
No, Mr. Cranor. Not a complicated case, really. Very simple. Elmer Rodman sold a packet of old family letters to the swindlers for a small sum. They used the letters to perpetrate their fraud on Miss Kent's father.
And the stamps on the letters were valuable?
They were a special Hawaiian issue 1851, Miss Kent. Nicknamed missionaries, because missionaries used them for writing home. They are extremely rare stamps worth upward of $25,000 each.
Hey, no wonder they were worth two murders. We found five of them on Sanford.
Excellent. Somewhere or other, Rodman discovered the value of the stamps after he sold the letters. In his effort to get them back, he communicated his discovery to the swindlers, Cross, Halleck, and Sanford.
So that's why they refunded the money so fast?
Precisely, in an effort to have the sale rescinded. Rodman sought out Kent and tried to convince him of the fraud. Alas, he would not listen to the truth, Mr. Kramer.
Oh, I get it. And while the others were hassling around, Sanford tried to steal a march and quietly resorted to murder.
There you have it.
Ha ha! Great job, boss. Great job. So Gloria not only gets her 10 grand back, but 5 times 25, which is about 125,000 worth of goodies. Now, figuring your rates by the hour, that means you've done a gratis job worth about...
Miss Kent, I did not, nor will I demand a large fee for what I have done. I will not go back on my word, but I can beg for a favor.
I'll only be too happy to...
Wait. I ask something that will not be easy to grant.
What is it?
Will you use your red hair, your pretty face, your admirable figure, and your ample fortune to lure Mr. Goodwin away from this house tonight? I would like to enjoy my dinner in peace.
Oh, that won't be difficult, Mr. Wolf.
Let's have an understanding right now, Gloria. Difficult for you or for me?
I'll be delighted.
Indeed. To spend an evening with Mr. Goodwin, there is only one word for you, Miss Kent. Intrepid.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's story by Alfred Bester was based on the famous characters created by Rex Stout, produced by Edwin Fadiman, and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Wally Mayer as Archie Goodwin, and Gene Bates, Howard McNair, Jay Novello, Larry Dobkin, Bill Johnstone, and Herb Vigran. Music by Joseph Enos. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Careworn Cup. Don Stanley speaking.
The preceding was transcribed. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. The chimes ring for Dennis Day and Judy Canova tomorrow night on NBC. Also, Judy Canova prepares to go operatic tomorrow because her special guest is Ezio Pimza.
This is Chester William Bendix Reilly. The Man Called X follows on NBC.
The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe with Sidney Greenstreet as Nero Wolfe and Wally Mayer as Archie here on Same Time, Same Station. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do that in a number of ways. You can like us on Facebook, Same Time, Same Station. You can call us during regular business hours, 714-449-1958, or you can email us. I'm John Gassman, and the last name is spelled G-A-S-S-M-A-N. The email is john1gassman@gmail.com.
And I'm Larry Gassman, and I'm not spelling you my last name, but the email is larrygassman1@gmail.com.